Good morning and welcome to Leftover Grounds. So Emmanuel Macron, the French president, has joined with Angela Merkel, the German president, both who seem very concerned about Twitter and Facebook's muzzling of Donald Trump toward the end of his presidency. And Joe Biden, according to the headlines, declares that America is back regarding our foreign interests and relations, or at least his foreign interests and relations. So let's get into it. So France's president Emmanuel Macron was, of course, very upset by the way social media handled Donald Trump after so many years of letting him use social media to reach his audience, which is a very good question, by the way, that we should all be talking about. They let Donald Trump use that platform for 4 years to tweet whatever he wanted. They might have put their little warning signs on there saying to check the facts, but if his rhetoric was so inflammatory and so dangerous, of course, with him being such a high-profile account, you would have thought that they would have closed it down a long time before. But they didn't. They let him keep going until after something had happened, and they said, oh, whoa, we better close this down. Which, good thing he wasn't like an actual terrorist using that platform to recruit other terrorists to maybe like fly planes into buildings or something. Would they have gone, oops, you know, they blew up some buildings, we better shut them down now. So a lot of this doesn't make sense. But the problem with what the French president and the German president are saying is they've never been fans of Donald Trump. That's evident and it's not a secret. So why now? Why are they supporting him now? Well, both of them say, of course, that there needs to be more regulation over those social media platforms. And no one should be able to say what they want, you know, and without the government regulating everything that's being said, which is extremely dangerous. And once that happens, of course, your speech and my speech is out the door. I know a lot of people who think, well, there has to be some kind of rule. There has to be some kind of regulation. And I agree. But it has to be internal. And it has to be the people, us, who are pushing that regulation. If we don't like what's going on with the platform, then we need to get off of it and stop using it. We've stopped using Twitter for any kind of promotion or to send any messages or anything like that. I use it to keep track of what's going on in the world, but I don't use the account to push a message or anything like that. All these people who are complaining about it that are at higher levels, of course, they make revenue from Twitter and ads and things like that. And so they're going to complain about it, but they're not going to get off of it. So if you're not going to get off of it, then don't complain about it. It's got to be pushed by the market, though. If you start pushing things based off of or asking the government to get involved, can you imagine the government regulating every tweet that goes out? Well, who the regulators at the government level? You know, are they going to be bipartisan? Are they going to be fair? Highly doubtful. It's kind of like the Voice of America. You know, Biden, first thing he did, one of the first things he did was fire the head of Voice of America and put his own person in place. That's their propaganda arm. So we got to think about those kinds of things when we ask for more government regulation on something, especially something pertaining to free speech. Twitter and Facebook both might be in the wrong, but that doesn't mean that we need to ask for another layer of wrong to make it better. So Joe Biden on Thursday promised a new era after the scattershot foreign policy of his predecessor, Donald Trump. Now look, Donald Trump was a lot of things. One thing he was not was scattershot. The guy actually understood strategic planning quite well and operational level planning, and he knew how to use people other than himself. I love how everybody just thinks that the president makes decisions in a vacuum without advisors. Once there's blame to put on somebody, you put it on the president. I get that, and he's responsible. That's his job. But trying to say that his foreign policy was scattershot is quite disingenuous. I think what he did was strategic, and it put pressure on people to do what he wanted them to do. Now, was it right? Was it wrong? I don't know. Honestly, I've seen China's human rights violations, and I didn't see anybody before him doing anything about it. I've never seen anybody do anything about China's human rights violations or push back on them. You did see Trump push back a little bit. Of course, his ultimate goal was, you know, to make it fair in regards to trade, you know, tariffs and things like that, like we get whenever we try to, you know, export something to China or to anywhere else in the world. The trade's not, it's not fair for us. I just want everybody to understand that. So he did try to make trade a bit more fair. You got to give him that. He did bolster our economy by doing that in American jobs before COVID hit. That's factual. You can't, you know, deny it. Was he crass in his approach? And did he do it the wrong way? Yes, he was not a diplomat. Definitely not. He wasn't cut out for international relations, I don't think. But honestly, that's not what he was elected for. And the people who elected him didn't want him to do that. That was his base. So he did what they wanted him to do. It worked out for his base. Well, now we have a new leader, a new base. And according to this, though, it's just like they're trying to do a big F you to Donald Trump and go and destroy everything that he's ever done. I can't see the logic in that. I don't understand why you would do that. But let's talk about this. According to Joe Biden, he's going to reach out to Iran and start talks with them again about their nuclear enrichment program. Now, we got to remember, we just did this bullet brief, right? Our greatest threat are foreign actors. We talked about this yesterday. Our greatest threat, domestic threat, is foreign actors and their activity and their interference. So listen to this. The countries he wants to talk to. Iran, to figure out a way to get them, you know, be able to do their nuclear enrichment program again that they had started under Obama and that he was in charge of. The other country he mentions in here is China, talking about being more aggressive with China, whatever that means. He called Beijing our most serious competitor, which they are. And he said, we'll confront China's economic abuses, counter its aggressive coercive action to push back on China's attack on human rights, intellectual property, and global governance. So at least he's admitting that their way is not right, right? There are human rights violations. They're taking intellectual property that's written into their laws to do that. And that's one of their military's objectives. How is he going to go about doing that? That'll be interesting to see, especially with some of the past there that's been brought up and completely forgotten. The interaction between Joe Biden's son and China. You know, so anyway, and then at the same time, he goes into Putin and Russia, right? We talked about Russia yesterday as well. He said, I made it clear to President Putin in a manner very different from my predecessor, whatever that means, that the days of the United States rolling back in the face of Russia's aggressive actions, interfering with our elections, cyber attacks. So they are interfering with our election. So he's admitting to that, at least. Cyber attacks, which we talked about, and poisoning its citizens are over. Okay, that's a stretch. I don't understand how his approach is different than Donald Trump. He's telling world leaders, you have to stop doing what you're doing or we're going to intervene. And I wonder what that intervention looks like. We already are on the defensive when it comes to the cyber attacks. But how are we going to stop him from poisoning his citizens? How are we going to stop them from having election issues? The only way that we can actually do anything about that is to go to war with Russia. We've already put sanctions on them. We've already put sanctions on Iran. So how does he plan on doing this? I will be interested to find out, as should you. How is he going to be different than Donald Trump in this? One of the most interesting pieces of this is they talk about Saudi Arabia, how we're going to stop supporting them and their fight against Yemen and the Houthis. I don't understand how we're going to go about doing that since we've already given them the support. If you cut off that support, I wonder how that'll affect the peace deal with Israel as well. I'm sure there were some things in there, you know, that were written in that had to do with that peace deal, continued support and things like that. So there's a lot of things he's doing here. Yes, I get it. He's a new leader. You don't go in and you just destroy everything that another, and you can't deny the fact that Donald Trump negotiated peace between Israel and four sovereign nations. Are you going to go in and destroy that too? He's doing what his base wants him to do. I get that. Fine. But you don't go back and destroy some good steps that your predecessor took just so you can discredit that person at the cost of lives. And lives are at stake, trust me. This is all really weird and agenda-driven, and it's to discredit Donald Trump and to kick all of his supporters that when they're down. I don't think Trump was perfect, but there's a lot of things that he did do that were good for the economy and foreign relations. We have not been to war under Donald Trump. We will end up in war again under President Biden with this type of foreign policy. So which one's better? It's funny how everybody was, I mean, I was in, you know, war under a Republican leader, and I remember what the Democrats were saying about us and the kind of rhetoric that was spewed about how wrong we were for doing what we're doing. And the idea behind it was, oh, you just went to war for oil and all this other stuff. Well, my motivation was totally different. Mine was human rights driven. I wanted people to have the right to make a decision, which is what they're saying here. You know, we need to intervene in order to stop Myanmar, you know, from dealing with a coup, or Yemen from having to deal with these civil rights issues or civil liberties issues, China with their they're doing the exact same thing, but they're calling it good because they're in charge. We need to stop the interventionist thing and focus on the U.S. Of course, we're in a global economy. We have to do things for that economy to work. We have to create some stability and security, but we can't intervene in every single country ourselves, by ourselves, doing that, which is what we've been doing over the years. And trust me, I spent my entire career, started in 2001, ended in 2016, the entire time was at war, whether it was declared or not. So I don't see how his foreign policy is actually better than Donald Trump's. It's definitely different, but how is it better? And the way they're trying to spin this is like he's some kind of savior coming in to save the day. And I'm looking at it going, dude, you're going to stir up some crap. And guys are going to get deployed again. And families are going to be missing their husbands and wives. And kids are going to be missing their moms and dads. All because you wanted to discredit Donald Trump. Good for you. Watch the foreign policy and watch what he's doing. See if he's actually doing better than Donald Trump. Just because you don't like Donald Trump shouldn't influence that decision. So like I said, we're always looking for the better option. And someday we're all going to get an option that sucks for everybody. Just because you didn't like Donald Trump does not mean that Joe Biden's going to do a better job. We have to keep an eye on that. I want to see what he does with his foreign policy. He's laid out a lot of promises. Well, what's the plan to back that up? be interested to see that. Sorry, I am passionate about foreign policy. I don't like to see soldiers get deployed for no reason. But on that note, I hope you all have a great day. We're going to revisit this one a few times, I think. But I will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Rest up. Stay safe. Talk to you on Monday.